Welcome to the Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Powell. So excited to be coming back to you for another episode today. And this time, we'll be looking at a few different areas. Specifically, first, we're going to be looking at direct commissioning. Now, direct commissioning, you might think of on the doctor side or lawyer side, but maybe if you're out there, you didn't know, there is some direct commissioning opportunities within the logistics branch. So this has been out for some time, so we're going to be kind of talking us through what those opportunities look like and then how people can, you know, get direct commission and what those fields look like. Additionally, we're going to be looking more into data. Now, as we talked a lot about data, because you know, it's a growing topic. Data has always been everywhere, but now it's the way we're utilizing data and the capability that it's bringing to the battlefield for us. So we're going to be looking at how can somebody who's, you know, become more of a professional when it comes to data, can that become a skill identifier? Well, that's actually in the works right now. We're going to kind of walking through those who have shown their expertise within the data field to be become combat multipliers for the units that they serve in. So with me today, I'm going to have Kyle Weinerth, who's with the Logistics Proponency Office, who's going to walk us through, who's been in the field a lot with data, as well as kind of working through LogPro on bringing these innovations to life. So Kyle, if you can introduce yourself for the community today.
Yeah, thanks, Garrett. Happy to be here. So I'm Captain Kyle Weinerth, military brat, but I call Colorado Springs, Colorado home. I commissioned out of Texas Christian University in 2015. And then went straight to Ordnance Bullock, and then kind of back home to Colorado Springs. I was in 3rd Brigade, 4th ID for my lieutenant times, did distribution platoon leader, FSCXO in 1-8 infantry before going to career course and then ending up in Bilsack, Germany as a over in 2CR. So I did a little bit of S3 time in the RSS, and then I was the third squadron FST commander there for about 2 years. Following that, I was selected to go to the CASCOM VCU program, spent a year there, and that's how I ended up back here at CASCOM. I was a CCC instructor for a year, and now I've spent about a year and a half in LogPro.
Awesome. So that's where you kind of got your data background.
Yep,
when it comes absolutely. To VCU.
Right.
So once again, anyone out there, go back and check out the VCU episode we did almost a year ago now when it published, but give you a little insight on what that program has to offer and why, especially those junior captains out there, why you should take advantage of that. But for today's conversation, of course, let's first kick this off when it comes to direct commissioning.
Yeah.
As I alluded to, like when you thought of direct commissioning, I was always, okay, doctors or lawyers
right. Was,
you know, those who direct commission. But now we're talking about today that there's other opportunities now for logistics side. Can you kind of walk us through what those opportunities are?
Right, absolutely. And so, yeah, previously, very focused on the niche expertises across the military. And like you said, lawyers and doctors, right? Those are the primary ones that we think of. The logistics branch does have niche areas, as we all know. Right now, since 2022, we've identified 4 areas of expertise that we're looking to direct commission, people from either that are already active duty, but maybe warrants or enlisted service members, or just from industry, civilians, to direct commission them into the logistics branch's officers. So those 4 areas are functional data analysts, port officers, port operations officers, rail officers, and then petroleum officers. And so the functional data analyst, that's our only Compo 1 available area. And then the other 3 are all Compo 3, so Army Reserves, that we're looking to direct commission officers into.
Okay, and you said this has been since 2022?
Yes.
Okay. Why did the Army kind of like choose, like why these specific areas then?
Right. So the CASCOM CG decides on areas of expertise that we are lacking as a sustainment branch or as the logistics branch. And so based off conversations, and we relook every year annually as we update our guidance to submit up to USAREC, Those are the areas that we've determined, like, hey, we don't have as much expertise in these areas. And so that's where we're looking to pull from industry so that we can continue to build kind of that talent pool and talent base and fill these critical positions.
Okay. So you said we got one for Couple One, the functional analysis, and the other ones are in the reserve side.
Right.
Okay. What have we seen so far, like with individuals? Are individuals already been direct commissioned into these areas?
Yeah, so we've direct commissioned a handful, probably around a dozen at this point. Currently, we have two functional analysts that are working at CASCOM right now. We have another one who's currently going through the PME required. There's essentially a Bullock A you have to go to before you go to Bullock B, which is logistics Bullock. So he's actually down in Bullock A right now. And then we've got another one of the functional analysts in the pipeline to go in August. So we're not getting like a massive wave of individuals, but it's a slow rolling, you know, kind of process so far.
Okay. Is these coming from industry so far or within the Army?
So the majority of them are coming from industry. It's kind of hit or miss, but about 50-50. There's a couple that have come from industry. Then we've got a couple who are GS civilians who are then, you know, working in these types of jobs and then wanting to direct commission as officers because they have the expertise. You know, they've been working with directly with military members in these types of positions. And so they are qualified to then direct commission as officers.
Okay. So, and you said you got some down in the Bullock now. So they have to do Bullock, they have to do a career course then as well?
So it depends on when you, what grade you enter in as a direct commission. So part of what we provide to USAREC, who is now responsible for the direct commission program, is a set of constructive service credit guidelines. And so that's basically what the CASCOM CG authorizes as the credit that we can provide to individuals. And that's based off of their education, you know, any professional certificates that they have, as well as the work experience that they might have. And so we grade all of that out, you know, you calculate it up, do some basic math, and then that spits out how much time in service they're awarded. So logistics specifically, right now, we're not looking to direct commission anybody who doesn't grade out as a captain. But you could grade out, in theory, all the way up to 06. So, you know, you've got somebody who's been a CEO of some big, you know, data company, let's say. They've got PhDs. And they're maxing out all the service credits. They could come in as an 06. And so depending on where you enter in, grade out as, so let's call it captains, because that's primarily what we've direct commissioned so far. They have to complete all the PME that they've essentially missed. And so they do their DA-71, their oath of office, raise their hand, and then they go to the direct commission course, which is Bullock A, and that's currently down at Fort Benning. It's a 6-week course. And then we send them from there to the first available log Bullock date. They come here, do the, you know, 15-ish weeks logistics Bullock, and then we will then slot them into the next available CCC class. So really they spend roughly their first year of service just knocking out PME because they're 90 alpha officers, right? So we have to make sure that they're educated as such. Even if they're gonna be these niche functional analysts or rail petroleum officers, they're still gonna have a 90 alpha next to their AOC on their STP. So the expectation is that they're able to fill any 90 alpha role, not just as a data analyst, but potentially as a, you know, FSC commander or a SPO in a BSB. So that's why PME is important, and making sure that they knock it out right up front is important to us.
Okay. Now, is that like the OCS course they kind of go through then?
Yeah, just not as in depth, right? Yeah. So it's only 6 weeks, and they kind of just learn, you know, the basics of being an officer and being in the Army. Some are military and they've already know, you know, the rank structure and, you know, units and some graphics, but some are like I said, we're pulling straight from industry. So they're a blank slate, you know, they're your MS1 showing up to an ROTC unit. So it's just 6 weeks of a crash course of like, here's how to be an officer, here's how to Army.
Okay. Now you said it could be somebody who's like a CEO of a company. So is there like an age restriction or like how old are we talking here?
So that's kind of the that's one of the good parts of the direct commission process, is that the age restriction isn't as stringent as like OCS's age restriction. Mm-hmm. So if we've identified talent that we would like to integrate in, the direct commission process, we're able to get them in regardless of age, just because they have expertise that we want to utilize.
Okay. Now, you were talking about, you know, grading out which rank they come in. So you talked about anywhere from like a captain. Mm-hmm. So is a captain the minimum they'll be able to come in as?
For a logistics branch. So other branches have different constructive service credit requirements. And some of them may allow individuals to come in as a second lieutenant or a first lieutenant. But because of the areas of expertise that we want and the billets that we have identified for these individuals to fill, they're all O3 level billets. So getting a second lieutenant in, or somebody who grades out as a second lieutenant, we don't deem would benefit us, because really that's showing us that they don't have the level of expertise that we want for those positions.
Okay. With the max being 06 colonel.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, just the span of knowledge there with what we could get through the direct commissioning program. Another thing, so they go through, they get selected, they ever come in, they're doing their PME. Once they finish that PME, you said, so now they can, even though they're direct commissioning, say, with the data side of the house, they can still fill different roles then?
Well, yeah, typically we have them, once they finish PME, we have them go straight into the positions that they were acquired for, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're in one of the Compo 3 positions, we send them off to typically a unit that we've previously coordinated with for them to go and fill. And then if they're the Compo 1 here at CASCOM, up in TID, there is under the business systems, there is a group of officers who do data, the functional data analyst roles, and they typically slot into there for their kind of initial first couple of years.
Okay. And one thing you'd mentioned, like when you're doing this calculations on where they're going to come at, does that give them like, I want to say like time in service that year? Like, do they sort of say, I come in as a captain, but I already get 4 years of service accredited already? Like, or they come in as a captain with no years of service?
Correct. They come in as a captain with no years of service. Okay. In terms of like for reaching retirement age, yeah, or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they just grade out at a certain level, but in terms of like time in service, they're not receiving any time in service.
Okay. Because that would always be a question, because when it comes to pay,
right,
is this how that the pay chart all works for, right, these individuals?
Right.
Okay. So I guess, you know, starting order, you can definitely cap out then before you're eligible for retirement then, or?
Yeah, potentially.
Okay. Right. Okay. So the Army's identified that this is a need. From this program being out since 2022, what has the Army seen so far with these individuals who have direct commission, like how, like with the capability that they're bringing to the force?
Right. So and I'll specifically reference our functional data analysts, because that's what I've seen, you know, direct impact in. But the two that we have working up at TID have been just an insane benefit to the sustainment community and what we're trying to do. They're really the driving force behind the C dashboard that was created. And really, without them, without acquiring that expertise, I'm not sure that we would have been able to create that in the same manner that it is and has been deployed, you know, across the force today. So
awesome. Now, do you foresee any other direct commissioning opportunities in the future?
You know, potentially right now, I don't think we're looking to widen the aperture too much. But I think, you know, the Army's an ever evolving kind of beast. Yeah. And as the world changed and as the logistics and sustainment enterprise changes, you know, we could identify a need and immediately just be like, we need to start looking for these experts across, you know, across America, across the force and across enterprise in general.
Okay. So for someone who's out there listening to this right now, I'm going to be like, hey, I know somebody who's in industry who could fit this billet, or maybe somebody's out there listening to themselves like, this sounds like something I could be, you know, get myself involved in. What does the process look like for them to get direct? You know, we talked about the education piece, but like, how do they apply? Like what makes a good and bad kind of, like we always say, pack it.
Right.
But what does that look like?
Yeah. So reaching out to the LogPro distro inbox, essentially, is a good first step. And then the program manager, who's currently myself, or in the future, you know, might transition to another officer, but the right person will see your kind of inquiry. And so that's where you'll be able to provide, this is who I am. I heard about this episode and I'm looking to direct commission. Can you provide me with more information? And we can certainly help to direct you in the right path. Recently, since October 2025, so starting in fiscal year 26, the recruiting command essentially has taken control of the Army's direct commission program. And so it used to just be proponent driven. So each branch, each center of excellence drove the entire process. But now it's been centralized. And so that doesn't mean that us as LogPro are out of the equation. It just means that we're now kind of a big piece, a big voice in the equation. So basically we provide those constructive credit guidelines like I talked about, but also we provide our branch recommendation or the Center of Excellence's recommendation for each candidate. And so we provide that back to USAREC and then they board applicants. And so if you reach out to us, we'll be able to kind of vet you as a candidate, tell you if you're competitive or not, and then direct you to the USAREC direct commissioning website where they have the entire process to actually submit your packet.
Okay, so it's not restricted. I know some Army programs are like, there's a time where, hey, this is when applications are due. This is just open all year long.
Yeah, they have rolling boards. I think they try and hold one about every quarter. So as you submit your packet and your packet's being processed, at the same time, they'll have you start going through the medical process. So to make sure that you're medically sound to serve as, you know, serving the Army as an officer. And then they'll actually board your file once you're complete and you have the medical approval. They'll board your file to see if you qualify and they want you to direct commission as an officer.
Okay. Now, of course, before we get into the second part of this conversation, this process is still the same between Compo 1 and Compo 2?
And Compo, yeah, Compo 3.
Sorry, Compo 3, my mistake.
Yeah, so same process in terms of, you know, we vet your packets, we provide a thumbs up, and then even through the USAREC is you submit your packet. It's just for, you're submitting it for kind of the different areas of expertise that we have. You'll submit your packet and say, I'm a petroleum officer, or I'm submitting for a petroleum officer, or I'm submitting for, you know, data analyst.
Okay. With all these, you know, you talked about, you know, when it comes to education experience, is there anything specific that sets people apart who are out there saying, okay, I think this will be a really good opportunity for me? Is there something that sets people apart for this type of experience?
Yeah, I think specifically it's having the right types of education and the right types of civilian experience. And so if you reach out to our inbox, we're able to provide you with kind of the constructive credit guidelines so that you can, you know, do your own unofficial, okay, I think I would grade out as, you know, this based off what I have. But we do outline these types of degrees qualify for, you know, master's level constructive credit. These types of PhDs would qualify for, you know, PhD level constructive credit. And I think that's another key piece is the only education, level of education that qualifies you for credit is master's degree and above, right? Bachelor's degree is the minimum required, right? You have to have a bachelor's degree to become an officer. But in order to get any additional service credit, you have to have a master's for us to give you any more service credit.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
If we're looking for someone who's specialized in this field, we want somebody who's actually went through more higher education, got more of those years of experience.
Right. Absolutely.
That's the whole intent behind this program.
Yep.
So before we, you know, get into more of the skill identifier side of this conversation, is there anything we missed that you want to highlight for the community when it comes to direct commissioning?
No, I think it's a great opportunity. So if you've got individuals, you know, if you're working with, whether it's GS employees that are doing, you know, they have jobs in these areas of expertise, or you know some a friend or somebody who's working in industry who has these areas of expertise and are looking to serve, definitely guide them to us, because we need these officers, and the direct commissioning program is a good avenue to get them integrated into the force as expediently as possible.
Awesome. And we'll just hopefully, and we'll include it all on the show notes. So, of course, links to the Logistics Proficiency Office for you. So, easy reference, so you can be able to get into the show notes, get those links so that you can reach out to the team here to be able to get plugged in. And I know they'll be happy to answer any of your questions. And then as we move forward, and I alluded to at the beginning, data, of course, is everywhere. We've talked a lot about data on this podcast, but now it's like the Army's starting to identify expertise when it comes to data. We always see skill identifiers is a way to bring as a combat multiplier to a unit that you serve in. So you kind of walk us through the way the Army is looking to recognize data expertise now.
Right. And so I think, like you said, we talk data, like data has been the hot ticket item for a while now. And oftentimes we're talking about what we can do with data and how we're going to transform, like predictive logistics is such a, you know, buzzword right now, especially in the sustainment community. But a lot of times we're not talking about the who behind that, right? Like who's actually the ones that are driving this? And how are we identifying and qualifying these individuals within our organizations? And so that's what the sustainment functional or logistics functional data analyst is striving to do, is to really, really institutionalize a process to identify this talent and talent manage, you know, these officers moving forward.
Okay. So for confirmation, that's the sustainment functional data analysis
analyst. Yes.
So that's what the new skill identifier is going to be. And what's the code for that?
It'll be LEMA 9 will be the skill identifier code for the sustainment functional data analyst.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, I know this is all still within the works, getting through all the whole process to make this, you know, fully bring it to life.
Right.
So we kind of talked about the reason behind it, but once this process goes through, I have this skill identifier. What really is that showing to the units that I'm in?
Right. So we just talked about kind of a good example with the direct commissioning program, but the basis of this skill identifier is to move away from this ad hoc process of, you know, identifying data talent, right? So, you know, in the past, we're either direct commissioning individuals or really, many of you have probably seen it in your organizations. And I know we saw it in Captain's Career Course, right? Where like, there's one guy, like there's data Dave, right? Who, and he's the guy that knows how to do data. He's the guy we're going to rely on. But that's all self-identifying and self-promotion, right? So that's an officer coming in saying, hey, I know how to do this stuff. I can do the cool Excel stuff. Nowadays, it's, you know, the Power BI type stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's all very ad hoc. And so we're looking to institutionalize this, right? Formalize a path where we can create individuals who are data savvy, who have, you know, data competency, and then also be for units to identify them, position them correctly, and then, you know, the continued talent management of it.
Nice. So as this course is, it's continuing to go through the approval process, how is one be able to get this skill identifier then?
Yeah, so the skill identifier will be eligible to award hopefully here come August timeframe. We are currently sitting with awaiting HQDA G1 approval. It's been through worldwide staffing, kind of all the administrative hurdles, but it's looking good for an August approval. So what we're looking for in terms of what qualifies you for a logistics data to be a logistics slash sustainment data analyst is really a master's degree in a data-centric field, right? Whether that be data analytics, data engineering, information systems, something in that realm is what we're looking for as the primary vehicle to identify this talent. I said that I did VCU a couple of years ago. We've essentially revamped the VCU program to make it more data-centric so that officers who now graduate from this program are immediately eligible for this skill identifier, right? So in the past, it was a master's in supply chain management, but now it's a master's of supply chain management with a concentration in supply chain / decision analytics. So we've created instead of making the electives kind of a free-for-all, they're now being forced to take four specific, analytics-centric electives, which now put this concentration onto their degree. And that's going to create, for the logistics branch, 20 officers annually, a cohort of 20 logistics analysts annually.
Okay, so say somebody out there is like, I did the VCU program in the last year or something. My grandfather into this or?
Right, so unfortunately, no. But fortunately for them, you should have received an email from me within the last couple of weeks that talked to you about the supplemental path to qualify yourself for these degrees. Because in theory, you've taken about 70% of the same classes that the future cohorts are going to take. But you just need, specific analytically minded, courses to supplement your path to be on the same level, essentially. And so this goes for somebody with, let's say an MBA from a different university, right? Like you've got a master's in something kind of similar in the vein of supply chain management, not necessarily just like a bachelor or a master's of arts or something, but, a master's in something that's in the realm. We also have a supplemental path for those individuals to kind of grade out and be at the same level as somebody with a master's in data analytics or something, right? And so a lot of that is through, there's certain course specialization courses. There's a John Hopkins data science certificate. There's one from Harvard, there's one from Michigan that are all online and grant you these specialization certificates. I just finished the John Hopkins one. It took me about 4 pretty solid months of knocking it out. So these are legitimate things. They're not your typical, trying to check through the 600 S3 requirements. You do have to sit down, you do have to code. But we as the proponent feel that they meet the requirements necessary and that they would qualify you to then meet, the threshold to become an L9, logistics data analyst.
Okay. So like someone like myself, I have my master's in transportation and logistics management.
Yep.
I'd be able to look into these supplementary certificates that you're speaking of.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you're a great case study there. Sure. So, depending on, you'd send us your transcripts, we'd be able to say, based off your transcripts, it looks like maybe you took one analytics-based course, for your degree or two. So you need anywhere from 1 to 4 more data certificates or electives. And then we have an entire menu of options. And, the John Hopkins one that took me about 4 months, that one's worth 2 credits. But then you've got some of the more professional certifications like your CompTIA Plus, some of the Microsoft Azure professional certifications that you can get are also things that can grant you credit to kind of supplement your path to be eligible.
Okay. That's very interesting, because then there'd be people out there like, okay, I got this master's degree in this area. Now I know, okay, there is a way forward so that I don't have to go through the whole VCU program.
Right.
To get this.
Absolutely. And all this will be available on the LogPro webpage. There will be a logistics or sustainment functional data analyst tab. You click on that, and we provide the entire menu. So if you're somebody with, you know, a supply chain masters or something, we'll have the link in there that you can click and see the menu for the supplemental path. It'll also have the link to submit your packet in there. It's kind of a one-stop shop for the entirety of the skill identifier.
Okay. So on a unit side of the house, is this something that's going to be in the future for, you know, billets being coded for this for positions?
Yeah, so we are working to code billets. A part of this approval process is the SI will be approved here come August 2026. And then, you know, because there's typically a lag in coding of billets, come FY29, so October 2028, we have the initial push is 52 coded billets across the sustainment enterprise for the Lima 9. And so the really good thing, or, you know, to me, the coolest thing about this L9 skill identifier is that if you serve in these billets or you have the skill identifier, you're going to be eligible for some additional key developmental opportunities. So already written in our 600-3 is basically KD opportunities from the grade of, you know, lieutenant all the way through colonel for individuals who are doing data-centric roles. Right now, it's written for our direct commissioning applicants as well as some of our individuals who have either V-tipped in or have just gone through the AI2C program. But once the L9 skill identifier is established, that verbiage in 600-3 will transition to L9 specific. And so it'll basically say for the first half until the billets are coded, right? So from, let's say, August 26th to September 2028, it'll say if you basically are in a position where the duty title or job, you know, duty description lists as, you know, data engineer, data scientist, data analyst, and that's in your, you know, your duty title and description, and you have the L9 skill identifier, you're eligible for KD for that position you're serving in.
Well,
once the billets are coded, it'll then switch to you need to have L9 and be in one of those billets for it to count as KD, but those billets will be, you know, KD opportunities for qualified officers.
Definitely into a future conversation, but really digging into all the updates of 600-3 and just seeing all the changes to the logistics branch, right, pretty much. So on that, one thing I wanted to clarify, for this SI, is this only available for officers then?
So to start with, yes. This is the reason I keep saying logistics/sustainment functional data analyst. So when I talk August 26th approval, this will be for 90 alphas only, right? So for officers, logistics officers only is what the original skill identifier request was submitted for. But then come immediately following the approval, we're going to submit a revision that will then open it up for the sustainment community at large. And so that'll include AG officers, finance officers, you know, your EOD officers, as well as logistics officers, and then every sustainment warrant officer as well will be eligible for this L9 once we revise it. The billets, though, currently are only going to go to 90 alphas. So we have no plans to extend this to any of the other officers and branches.
Okay. So when it comes to, just for clarification, nothing on the enlisted side?
Nothing yet, but that'll be a completely separate, they wouldn't fall under L9 because they would go through, you know, either ASI or SQI or however we wanted to code it, but it'd be a separate identifier for them. Okay. But we are in the works of establishing a separate identifier for the enlisted side as well.
Okay. It's definitely a unique time where we've talked a lot about when it comes to continuous transformation in the Army and just seeing the way the Army is adapting to this new fight ahead. We talked a lot about, of course, when it comes to large-scale combat operations, everything comes a tick, but now just seeing the way the Army's changing with recognizing the impact of data. Now we talked to direct commissioning piece, now we're, you know, getting into the skill identifier piece, and just seeing the way we've recognized that data. If you talked about beforehand, it was just like, hey, you, I'm good with data, now you're the data person.
Right.
Now it's bringing that as a combat multiplier for the unit.
Right.
And for these bills, just to get a good understanding for the audience. Are these going to be higher level positions? I know we talked, you know, different for the different ranks, but is this something that's going to be like a higher headquarters position, or will you find these still at like a battalion level or even a company level?
Right. So for the initial, pretty much for the entirety of the push, this will be a kind of a phased waterfall method. But we're going to start with, you know, enterprise and strategic level positions, right? So you're talking about your CASCOM headquarters, AMC, ASC type headquarters, even up at HQDAG4, we have positions. And then down to, you know, your TSCs, your ESC, CSCs, as well as your sustainment brigades or division sustainment brigades. Those are kind of the areas that we're looking to push individuals into. Also within each of the CTCs, we have individuals identified so that they can do, you know, really data-centric analysis of what's occurring within, you know, the sustainment formations and sustainment in general out at the CTCs. But that's kind of where that is for the L9. And then kind of some insider baseball or what's coming down the pipe is that we're looking to establish a different skill identifier that'll trickle down into, you know, the tactical level. So think, you know, your BSBs within BCTs, or even, you know, the DSSBs, CSSBs. And so those will be not as highly skilled as what the sustainment functional data analysts will be, but they will be individuals who are, you know, extremely capable of manipulating and visualizing data, right? Because we had a meeting with one of the, you know, the lead sustainment OCs down at JMRC or JRTC. And we asked them, you know, how many units that come through do you see utilizing, you know, any sort of data visualization when it comes to, you know, projecting log stats, projecting sustainment? And their answer was none. Like, we still don't see it, right? And so what we want is for them to have the capability to begin to really focus on, you know, data visualization of this, of sustainment, even down at the tactical level.
No, I think that's a fantastic way to go about it, is to be having different degrees to show this expertise in. I mean, we see it with at the instructor badge is a one, or I know in Alaska when I was up there, when I was leaving, they had, you know, brought these Arctic skill identifiers, but there's different degrees to it based on what training you have.
Right.
And it's just a good that we're bringing this on the data side, because it's not this catch-all, you have to be at this top level. It still shows that progression. And I imagine once, of course, this plays out, you get that entry level, you know, skill down, where you can still move up.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the next one then.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. So just, it's good to see how, you know, we're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
With that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So as we get ready to close up today's conversation, you know, we've talked a lot about when it comes to direct commissioning, but also really this, you know, skill identifier that we're bringing to the force. So is there anything else you want to highlight to the community on the skill identifier part of it?
Yeah, I think the billeting is the big piece that I kind of want to hammer home is this will grow as the population grows, right? So like I said, we've got the 20 kind of annually that we'll get that are, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, locked in, right? Like, we can expect 20 a year. And so if we're getting more than that, because individuals are going out on their own and getting, you know, a graduate degree in these areas, or we're direct commissioning individuals because we're getting more qualified applicants that flow in, the number of billets that we're able to code for each, you know, subsequent year will increase. So basically, as our population increase, the number of billets will also increase. You know, it's not a one-for-one match, right? Like, if you have 100 qualified officers, you can't have 100 qualified billets. Because at the end of the day, this does not lock you into a career path, right? This is a career enhancer. It's not, you're not now a functional area, right? You're not on a specific track. You now have the opportunity to serve in these billets, but you can serve in these billets, and then you could go be a BSB SPO at the same time. You could then go, you know, command your way, but then having the opportunity to then say, okay, but now I want to go do, you know, data-centric roles for a couple of years, you have the opportunity to do that with this skill identifier.
Well, thank you, Kyle. I think that's a good piece to close out on, because people might hear this, but okay, wait, is this going to take me out of my career trajectory? Is this going to take me out of the opportunity to command in the future?
Right.
So it's good to see that this is, like pretty much any other position, it enables you to be a combat multiplier because you're bringing that specialized skill set to the force for that time, but then you can continue on whichever path you want to go.
Right.
Awesome. So as we always close out with, give you an opportunity to kind of give some advice or some wisdom to the systemic community from your years of service. So what would you have for them out to the audience out there?
Yeah, I would say we've talked a lot about data, and that's the way that the world is shifting. But I think we also have to remember the basics. Like, we have to be founded in, or we have to have a foundation in the sustainment principles and in just the basics of being a sustainer. And so definitely improving your capability in the data realm is important, but not losing sight of the basics. And that's why we've gone this route, right? That you have ORSAs, you have individuals who are very analytically minded in certain functional analysts or certain functional areas. And so the most important thing to us was making sure that we had sustainment ground, you know, individuals who are grounded in sustainment, who are able to also do the data roles. And so that's what's important to us, is making sure that foundation, people who are at the basics, and then people who can do the data stuff and combining them into one. And, you know, personally, for me, is at the end of the day, you have to accept the fact that as a sustainer, you're in the customer service industry. And I think if you try and fight that and you're constantly in a position where you're not looking to get to yes, right, when you're looking at the sustainment operations and support in general, then you're probably doing yourself and the unit that you're supporting a disservice. So that's kind of my personal foundation, right, is be the best customer service representative that you can, and also, you know, get to yes in the most legal, ethical, and moral way possible, right?
Well, thank you for that, Kyle. Yeah, I really appreciate that piece of advice for the community as we continue to integrate technology and pretty much in everything, but always remember staying back to the basics.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Garrett.
Of course. And I know people are going to have some questions. You know, we referenced reach out to LogPro, but if someone wants to reach out to you, or if they have any more questions on both of these topics, how can they, you know, get some more answers?
Yeah, the best way is just through the military email, through Global. I'm the only Kyle Weinerth in Global. So kyle.r.weinerth. No numbers, no nothing. Just send me an email and I'm happy to help out.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to sit down with me today, Kyle, and just kind of really provide the audience some great information.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Garrett.
Of course. So there you have it, folks. Today we were able to look at both the direct commissioning piece. I know some of you out there might even not even realize that sustainment or the logistics branch had a direct commissioning option. So we talked through four of those today, what those look like. So if you know the individuals out in the specialized career fields, like, you know, data, we talked port, petroleum, and rail, you know, sit in this episode, see how they can get involved through the direct commissioning program, as well as we talked a lot through the skill identifier. We're going to continue to talk data. I know some of you might get tired of data, but it's not going away. And data is not a new thing. It's always been out there. It's just we're putting more of a focus on how we utilize the data that we do have in working with the technology we have available to really take this data to a new level, as we talked about before, when it comes to predictive logistics and precision sustainment. So share this episode out there. This new SI, as we talked about today, it's still going through the process, but be on the lookout to when that's fully available to you. And as we talked about also, the waterfall effect on what it's going to look like as it continues to progress forward. Reach out to the LogPro team. They're here to help you. They'll help get you through it, as well as get you connected on how you can get this new skill identifier. But that's all we have today, folks. As always, Sustainment Leaders Start Here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you'd like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on global at garrett.h.pyle. Call us on Facebook and Instagram at the U.S. Army CASCOM page. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.